Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents Mentoring Godly Ladies with Mrs. Kathy Houck. Mrs. Houck serves with her husband in the Family Foundation's Adult Bible Class at Lancaster Baptist Church. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
5111. How many of you know this song? Does anybody know it? Isaiah 5111. So I might need some help. Okay, I'm looking for helpers. I'm an elementary principal, so if I treat you like children, you'll know why. Okay, Isaiah 51:11. Okay, it's going to be kind of low, but I'm a low alto, so that's why. Okay, it goes like this. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall turn fade away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Very good. Now, who knows that? Okay, I need some helpers. Quit switching your name. Come on up. Who sings in the choir? It's too low. Okay, could you sing the harmony part? That would be really good. Can you come up and help me? Come on. Who else could help me? Becky, come on down. All right. Because I'm not a person. Number one, I'm not a soloist. And number two, I can't do two things at once. So singing and playing is hard for me sometimes. Okay, so how about if we just, Becky can be my helper. She can hold it out. Okay. Okay, and you come in closer. Come in closer. Okay. Okay, we'll try to get the words right this time, okay? Me, anyway. Okay, and you can read my notes there. Okay, ready?
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. For the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads.
Much. All right, let me get this off. And ladies, that is what mentoring is all about. It is doing something yourself and then getting somebody to come and follow you. Really, that's all mentoring is. And as you can see, I don't have much talent. I mean, I can play, strum the guitar. I don't fiddle and do all of that. But what God has given you, you can use for Him. And whatever ministry you are in, whether it's teaching children, whether it's teaching ladies, it is basically two things. And these two things are the main points of our notes, is being an example and having a relationship with them. And those are the two main things of mentoring. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this conference and what a blessing it has been so far, and Lord, what challenges you have made in my life even so far. I just am overwhelmed, and we still have tonight's service for you to speak to us. And Lord, I pray that you would use me right now in this session. Help us, Lord, to want to mentor ladies. And Lord, that we just wouldn't be in our self-centered world, but we would be reaching out to others. And I pray that you would just bless this time now. Help it to be profitable. And we pray this in your name. Amen. One of my girls, I have five children, and one of my girls, when they were about two, she was playing with her dolls. I can't remember if it was Amy or Sarah, but it was one of them. I'm thinking it was Sarah. Amy was usually had her nose in a book, but Sarah was my mothering type, and so if it was Sarah, let's say it's Sarah, she lined up all the little dolls in the room, and I could hear her kind of when I was working in the kitchen, so I just tiptoed in and just stood by the door. She had a spanking spoon in one hand, and she was pointing her finger like this with the other hand, and she had them all lined up, and she was giving them a lecture, and this is what I heard her say, "Now, I'm going to the store, and when I get back, I want to hear a good report." Well, who was that talking? That was me. I don't know about the spanking spoon. I don't remember that part, but she didn't get very many spankings, but I saved those for Stephen. My daughter-in-law's here today. But Sarah, our children will mentor. We will mentor them whether we realize it or not. We all have a sphere of influence. And whether it's children or ladies who you work with, they will definitely learn from you, and they will imitate you. So let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 2 first. 2 Timothy 2:2. And this is one of our main verses around here, really. Okay, let's read that together. Okay, ready, begin. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." God is giving you many things that you are learning in your lives, and so then he wants us to teach others. And I love the next verse. I don't have that in our notes, but it is a very important verse. It says, "Thou therefore." Well, what is it therefore? Because we're going to be teaching others. We're going to be mentoring. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." When I first looked at that, I said, wow, that doesn't seem like it goes in that passage. But when you think about it, who is our arch enemy? Satan. The one thing that he does not want, ladies, is a group, an army of Christian ladies that are on fire for the Lord and are living for the Lord. That's the last thing he wants. Because you not only are a helpmeet to your husband, if you're single, you're a helpmeet to somebody, maybe in your workplace. You are a helper, and you're also mentoring children. So you have an army of hosts behind you that you are leading and mentoring, and you are going to have to stand like a good soldier. And you're going to have, mentoring is going to be a spiritual battle, because Satan does not want an army of Christian soldiers around. So make sure that you are reading God's word and that you are on your knees committing your life to the Lord. And I know that when I got this session's title, I said, oh, I just don't feel qualified to teach this. I just, you know, there's so many areas that you know you have to work in. And so by all means, I have not arrived, and none of us have arrived. But when God gives us people under us in a sphere of influence, he gives us the strength, and he can do it through us. Yes, we will make mistakes along the way, but if we admit to those mistakes and we say, I'm sorry, or we try to do better, I know that people respect us for that. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So God commands us to follow people as they are following Christ. We are not to be men pleasers. We are not to be putting people up on a pedestal. We are not to worship them. But we are to follow them. That verse commands us to follow people, follow men, follow women as they follow Christ. And so we are commanded to follow godly Christians. Mentoring is not an easy task. It needs a lot of prayer and a lot of Bible study and a lot of just coming to church and being under the preaching. We must be a student of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We must daily put on the armor of God. In Ephesians 6:13 through 18, we are told to stand against Satan's army. We are told to stand, not run, not turn around and run. There's no armor that goes on the back, and I'm sure you've heard that. But we cannot do it without God on our side, and He is on our side, as we were reminded last night. We are to be girt, our loins are girt with truth, leaning on Jesus as the truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness, doing right. We have the feet that are shod with the gospel of peace. We are to be a witness and have a scheduled time to go soul winning and be a witness in our place. We have the shield of faith. We shouldn't be doubting or worrying. That's the opposite of faith. That's not putting up that shield of faith. That's the opposite. We have that helmet of salvation. We should know that we are saved, shouldn't we? And that's a good place to start, obviously, to be mentoring godly ladies. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And some people forget this part, but it says praying always. And that's another part of the armor that we need to be praying. God commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says, pray without ceasing. So we are to go forward in battle praying without ceasing. I was going to pick up my guitar, but it's too hard. How many of you know how many of you like to sing? I hope you do. The scripture verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, turn there to 5, 16, 17, and 18. Before you leave today, you'll know four verses out of God's Word in song. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And our fourth grade teacher, Brother Coates, actually taught me this song that he learned as a child. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. This is very touchy. Okay. It starts out with verse 16. Actually, it's pretty long, but I'm going to shorten it here. You start off with verse 16, and then you always go, for this is the will of God in verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it starts off with this. Goes like this. And you could probably start singing along with me, okay? Because the tune is really easy. Okay? It goes like this. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now go to verse 17. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now this is hard. Go to verse 16, then 17, then 18. Okay, watch me. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. 17, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. 18, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And there's a little chorus that you can sing throughout the day. If you find yourself getting weak in the battle, Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And those three verses are excellent to keep us in the battle and keep us on our knees and keep us fighting for our children, for our men, for our ladies in our classes. It's an excellent way to keep in the battle is to be reminded that God's word is our sword of the Spirit. Okay, well, that was all introduction. Let's get to our outline here. And I already told you the 2 points. So first point is be an example. Be an example. That's the way you're going to be mentoring ladies. If I remember Abraham Lincoln, I didn't put it in my notes, but I think he said, the best way to have people follow you is to go that way yourself first. Obviously, you have to be going that direction for people to be following you and mentoring you mentoring them. So 1 Timothy 4:12, and it's just over a couple pages from where you are, Paul writes to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He's talking to Timothy, who's a young man, and I know that, and some of us are not young anymore, but I believe that we can apply these to our lives. In other words, we can take all of these little points that he made, that Timothy needs to be an example, excuse me, of the believer in word. That's what we think first. In our conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. In our words, I have a little acrostic that I think about before I speak. And if you want to write the word think somewhere in your notes going down, these are some things that you can ask yourself before you say things or before you talk to somebody about something. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Or is it kind? So that's going with each one of those little letters of think. Is it true for the T, helpful for the H, inspiring or godly? Is it for the I? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And asking ourselves some of those questions, a lot of times we will not say anything. If we ask ourselves those things before we say, we will keep ourselves from a lot of trouble many times. I read this quote, 1 minute of keeping our mouths shut is worth 1 hour of explanation. That's true, because a lot of times we have to explain or we have to try to take back our words, which we can never do. So we need to be examples in our words. We need to be examples in our conversation or our lifestyle. How do we live? Do we live differently at church than we do at home? And some of our neighbors might see us out in the yard yelling at our kids and being very angry person at home, and then we try to invite them to church. That's not going to happen. So I apologize for this mic. It's giving us... tear it out. Is that better? No. I don't know what to do. It's scratching. Okay, in charity or in our love to others, in spirit, that's in our attitude. Are we positive? Are we trusting God for things? Or do a lot of people see us as a negative person? Always complaining about something or not having a can-do attitude, because we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. In our faith, our giving, are we stepping out by faith on things? Do our the ladies in our class, are they seeing us stepping out by faith? Are they, the ladies in our church, are they seeing us having a life of faith? In purity, being true and honest, pure thoughts and clean thoughts. If we have pure thoughts in our minds and clean thoughts, those things out of our mouths and those things that we have in our lifestyle are going to be so much different. So make sure that we are being an example in all those things. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So make sure that our conversation and our lifestyle is measuring up to someone that wants to follow that. Mentoring others toward maturity means that we must be heading in that direction also. There's the quote from Abraham Lincoln. So make sure that we are heading that direction, and then we can bring those ladies, mentoring them in a godly fashion. Okay, the first bullet point there is be unselfish. We cannot be selfish or show selfishness, nor can we try to draw attention to ourselves and want glory for our actions. Mentoring takes time. We cannot be selfish doing things for ourselves, but must lay some things aside and maybe forget them. I think of Jesus, of course, he's our ultimate example, isn't he, with unselfishness, as he left heaven's glory and laid it aside for 33 and a half years. In Philippians 2, verses 4 through 8, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Which brings us to the next point. He not only was unselfish, but he was obedient. Be obedient as an example. Obey the authority that Christ has put over you, whether it be a husband, if you are widowed or single, it might be your pastor is your authority over you. Of course, God is our ultimate authority, but he has placed some human authority over us. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine." He was submissive to the cross, and we need to use him as our example. What authority do you have in your life? Mine is God, my husband Rick, and my pastor. He's not only my pastor, but he's my boss since I work here on staff. I need to obey them. I need to obey them. As we obey the authority God has placed in our lives, others who are following us and watching us will see that obedience, maybe even during times of not understanding, and then we will be able to mentor them along. God never brings something into your life that is not first filtered by him. He is always going to be there and be our example. Several years ago, Pastor had asked me to step down from my kindergarten teaching, which, as you can see, I probably was very comfortable at. I love teaching that age. And he asked me to become elementary principal, which, going from kindergarten to elementary principal, I never had any administration. I never had any training that way. But Pastor asked me, and he, of course, talked with my husband about it. And you know what my first answer was? No. I didn't want it. I pictured principals being very mean and not wanting to go to them, and I didn't think I would be able to have that fellowship with those children anymore. And so my first answer was no. And the Lord convicted me, because that is the authority in my life. Pastor and my husband are the authority in my life, and they believed I could do it. They believed God had laid that on their hearts. And God had to bring me to the point where I said, okay. And Pastor, he came back and he says, "Look, try it for a year or two. And if you don't like it, we'll put you back in the classroom. It'll be all right." Well, now 12 years later, I'm still elementary principal. But God has stretched me. And that's what he does many times in our lives, that he finds us in a comfortable spot. And all of a sudden, he gives us something that will stretch us. But that is growing us so that we can bring some other people along and help us. And they can follow in. Maybe something is given to them that they need to be stretched. That's the only way we're going to grow, ladies. If I have a little grandson, Stephen and Susanna's little boy here. And as much as we love him right now as the way he is, 8 months, 9 months, he's smiling at everything. He's not crying very much when mommy drops him off at the nursery. Although they go through different stages. But when what would we do if he would stay 8 or 9 months? That would be pretty sad if he was 5 years old and still that size. He needs to grow. He needs to fall a little bit. He needs to, when he starts crawling and climbing up on things, he needs to take some of those falls because that's the way he's going to learn. And so that's what's given to us, ladies. Many times the Lord gives us things through the authority in our lives that's stretching us and growing us. As a young girl, I remember my pastor's wife. I don't remember her ever sitting with anyone. She didn't have any one best friend. She was friends with all the ladies in the church. But I remember one opportunity I had to sit next to her, and I was probably 7 or 8, right around the time that I got saved. And I looked up to her so much, I thought she was a queen. I thought she was so graceful, and she really wasn't in the front at all. She worked a lot behind the scenes. She didn't play the piano. She didn't really work in the nursery or anything. She was just there for her husband, and I would watch her. And one time I got to sit next to her, and I saw the way she watched her, watched her husband. And I saw how she had her Bible open and how she folded her hands on her lap. And I just tried to be like her. And that's what ladies are doing for you. They're watching you. They're watching how you react to the authority in your life. They're watching how you are handling trials. They're watching everything about you. There is somebody watching. You say, oh no, I know that there's nobody watching me. No, there is somebody watching. God has put a sphere of influence into all of us. So make sure that you are living in obedience to the authority over you. Okay, the third bullet there is have character. I only wrote down a few because we could go on and on about this, but anyway, have character. The first one I wrote about was integrity. Have integrity. I wrote down Psalm 25 and 26 because a lot of those verses in there speak about integrity and how we are going to meet the Lord someday, and we should have integrity. Then we have loyalty. That's a total commitment to a person or cause, no matter what the circumstances or consequences would be. In Hebrews 3:14, we are going to be partakers with Christ.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.